You're listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by Miniquip Hire, WA's leading machinery hire company, supporting the Landscape Industries Association, WA.
G'day landscapers and welcome to another episode of Green Thumbs Up, the landscaping podcast for landscapers by landscapers, brought to you by Miniquip, Bailey's Fertilisers and Domus Nursery. I'm Darren Senor and joining me in the hosting duties is Kieran Kelly from Open Gardens WA. Kizza, how are you, mate?
Very well, Darren. Thank you very much for that and welcome, Bex.
Thank you.
And Bex is from Bex Gardening, is that right?
Garden design. Yes.
Bex, so welcome. And look, one of the first things that we always start off with is how did you actually get into the landscaping game, or a little bit of backstory on yourself?
Sure. Okay, so it's a long story, so I do apologise. I am an older person, so getting into the industry has come later on in my life. I've always had an interest in gardens, I would say, for sure. So history, started off pretty much... 20, I went to the army, came out of the army, became a PT. My body decided to fail me, so I had a couple of hip replacements, and that actually pushed me into managerial areas. So changed my whole point of view, did a couple of diplomas, management, leadership, all that sort of stuff, so I could advance myself that way. But I didn't enjoy it. It was really, really boring. It's not me. I've always been hands-on. The army especially was just fantastic, so I really missed out being out and about, all that sort of stuff. So had the second hip replacement. At that point, I actually was working, can we say names?
We can say
names. Go on, say names.
Working at Snap Fitness as basically telemarketer. It was horrible. I hated it. I hated doing that sort of stuff. So had the second hip replacement. I felt heaps better. I was like, what the hell are you doing, Beck? You know, come on, get back to your passions of things. You know, kind of lost myself in that period of time and was like, let's get into the gardens. So basically enrolled at TAFE, started in at Horticultural Cert 2, loved it. And I was like, this is it. This is for me. You know, when I actually went to PT from being in the army, I was like, this is the best job I've ever had in my life. Went to gardening and I was like, this is incredible. This is what I've been searching for my whole life. So... and just evolved from there and just got, you know, myself more and more involved in it. It's been wonderful.
So you've started off in the maintenance of garden?
Yes.
The starts?
Yeah. So when I was still at TAFE, so I did the hort and then went to CLM and then to garden design. I was working as well as to basically immerse myself because I just couldn't sit there and be at TAFE and take the lectures and lectures. I needed to apply it. Mm.
Were you working with another landscaper or maintenance, or you've just gone straight out on your own?
Straight me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, which is a credit, I would say, to TAFE because of the teaching that you get, the practical side of it, and the intricacies. Like, as we probably know, Neil Marriott, he was one of our lecturers.
Brilliant. Very good fellow, Neil Marriott.
He is. Lovely, lovely guy. Brilliant at irrigation. You know, so I couldn't learn enough from him. And to be honest with you, I'd love to be able to go back and do something more with him and be more proficient in that area.
So it sounds like you had a very good time at TAFE.
I loved it, yeah. Yep. Heaps of friends, making lots of connections. That's the other thing. So we had, people come in to speak, you know, specialist speakers. We had, it was huge, yeah. I know his wife, but I don't want to drop that name either. So,
Mr. Lecturer.
Yeah. John Stanley, he came in and then I found out about Lisa Passmore and her, obviously, history, Neville Passmore's child, and her experience in the industry is massive. And for her to be at TAFE is... honestly, the best thing any student could ever have at TAFE.
So your TAFE was what, night, day?
All day, yeah. All day. So I went full-time, went straight into full-time, back on the old dole, would you believe? After, what was I, 40s, in my mid-40s. So that was It was hard to take, I must admit. I was like, screw it, you know, do what you love. And this is the thing, in our day and age, we can do that. We can chop and change from so many careers throughout our lives. Like, I mean, I've said two or three things that I've done. There's probably another 10 behind that that I've done as well, you know. So we have the ability, we have the chances, we have the education as well. Like, we're not discriminated against because we're older. You know, I was probably one of the oldest people in the class, but I didn't, you know, feel any different.
How'd you find with the younger people in the class, Bex? Because I find sometimes with the TAFE, and even talking to some of the lecturers, that they do, when there's lots of jobs around, they don't have anyone coming to TAFE. When there's not too many jobs around, they have a lot of people coming to TAFE. But it tends to be, are they filling, ticking the boxes to do, you know, to fill forms in for other things that they're supposed to be doing, and so they're doing a TAFE.
Yeah.
But I know horticulture is one of those industries that you do need a passion to it. You just can't decide that, oh, I might give it a go, because it's a passion. You can't fake it.
No, that's 100%.
And you know what? And you can tell the ones that are. There was a few in there, and you're like, what are you doing here? Because they're taking away that position from somewhere else, because it's actually quite competitive these days. So I was a bit sad about that with a few people, but it was only minimal, which was good. And, you know, they didn't continue on, which was good. Mm. So, you know, going to CLM, they were not then into CLM.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because when I was at TAFE, you had to be employed to actually go to do a horticultural course.
So it was like a traineeship?
It was a trainee, yeah. Or an apprenticeship.
Yes.
Okay. So that was, you know, 4 years at, 3 years at TAFE. So one day a week, but then after a while, they then put in a vocational course, I suppose, which is what you would have been doing, the vocational course in horticulture.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was great. It was really good.
So, Bex, are you on your own, or you have staff members?
I am on my own. However, I do ring in a few people here and there, but I am looking to employ one person in the near future because it's just too much going on. Mm. It really is. And with the business, as you probably all know, the admin side is huge too. So, you know, and just a tip for new players out there as well, make sure you accommodate with your fees the time that you're not actually with that customer or client. Or, you know, like, say, for example, something simple, you've been to a job and you need to go to the tip afterwards. You know, that's an hour out of your day that if you haven't accommodated it and put it into your quote, you're lost. You've lost it.
Or the little hidden bits and pieces that
yep.
when you first start out, yes, that's exactly right. Oh, I'll only go to the tip on the way home. I can do it on the way home. But
you're not paid for it.
Yeah, still your time.
Still your time.
Exactly. Do you have a preference for, do you like hardscape work, planting? Do you like the irrigation more? Is there anything you prefer, or you just find it's all like a big bowl of
greatnessness, yeah. actually, I was talking to Ben about it earlier. So, being a female, honestly, and it's, you know, it's as simple as male and female, I don't have the strength. As simple as that. And as for me, my opinion, I can't do hardscaping. It's as simple as that. And especially at my age as well. Like, if you've got a 500 by whatever it is, 120 of a piece of limestone, there's no way I can lift that by myself. Yeah, I might have calipers, you know, like, there's no way I can do the hardscaping.
Yeah, the hardscaping can be very physical. If you're doing block work and limestone work and rock work, it is very physical. So.
Yeah.
And I often, you know, we'd say to all the guys that work for me, it's you do try and focus on your strengths and, you know, not focus on your weaknesses. You focus on your strengths and make the most of it. So if lifting blocks and laying blocks isn't your thing,
Move on.
Do what works well for you. So you're a plant person then?
Yeah, definitely love my plants. Natives more than exotics, I must admit. Just, you know, touching on, I guess, the water issue that we do have. We literally just have to go to what grows here.
Yep.
You know, we're getting more and more restrictions. We just can't grow exotics. It's as simple as that. And if we want to waste water, you know, then, you know, I don't have an answer for that, you know. So
yeah, the range of plants we can grow in Perth is, and the type of plants that do well in Perth is definitely changing.
Yeah,
so
which is great.
The more tropical plants are doing better in Perth
than they did even as little as 20 years ago,
so which points to our climate getting significantly warmer. Do you have a favourite plant?
I do. It's a Thysanosis multiflorus.
The little fringe lily.
Yeah, yeah, I love that one. Yeah, I did a bit of, actually through TAFE you had to do volunteer work, and I chose a herbarium, and they had this massive photo there of the fringe lily, and I was just like, oh my God, that is amazing. And then we actually did a little outing at the Murdoch TAFE, and they had them in the bush there, and I was like, oh my God, I went up to the lecturer, what's this? And she's like, that's the Thysanosis. She couldn't tell me which one, but she's like, that's it. And then I got 10 plants, planted them in my backyard.
Yeah, I've got a few in my garden. They grow up, and I live up in Raleigh, so we get them out in the bush out there. Brilliant. I don't think we've ever asked you, Kizza, what your favourite plant is.
What my favourite plant is? Oh, anything that's green. Well, look, if you came to my place, I do have a bore. Uh-huh. So I do have a bit of water. My garden is probably more on the tropical side than the native side. Not palms, no, but I have a lot of, I have lots of, well, I've probably got about 13 trees on my block. I've got frangipanis, clivia, to tell you the truth, is one of my, fantastic.
Really nice, been great.
Well, you're getting more and more colours in them too, Darren, and the good thing about a clivia, as I always call them, the rich man's acapanthus, even though I'm not rich, but they're a plant that, is water wise, surprisingly enough, because they don't take much water. They'll once they're established, they can live with almost nothing, and funnily enough, will grow under most trees. So
talking that they come in multiple colours, a couple of the wholesalers you're buying from, you get them multiple colours. You can order oranges or creams or whatever, and you'll still get multiple colours.
Yeah,
but back to our guests, kids.
Yes,
so you do a lot of maintenance work. Is that your main thing at the moment?
No, so I did start. That was sort of, I guess, to get my foot in the door.
Yep.
Yeah. So from there, I realised it's kind of boring for me.
Yep.
I just want to develop the design side. I do still have a few clients that I do maintenance for, which I do really enjoy. It actually gives me a balance to both sides. So going into the landscape side, the design side is where I sort of want to go. I was sort of talking before, my body's sort of breaking. As I said, you know, the hip replacements, had tendons reattached, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I need to go to the less physical side, just because of the age, really.
Yeah, well, pardon me, there's definitely a need for designers.
Mm. And where do you get your design urge from? Is it the bush?
Yes, yeah, definitely the bush. Been for a couple of walks lately, and it's just amazing to walk through there. And another side note, just, you know, with your knowledge and things like that, it's actually more enjoyable the more you get to know about this, you know, our native bushland, I think. Because you're walking through and going, oh, that's a Canadia, and that's a macadamia, or, you know, whatever it is. And you can actually take it in a lot more.
You appreciate it more.
Yeah, and the balance as well. And then you can take that, like you're saying, with your design. Okay, so, you know, especially this season that we've just been through, all the orchids coming up. They don't come out in the full sun. They're behind generally a tree or something like that. So you take that back to your design. You know, if it's a shaded area, you know, what can I use? Is it this plant? Is it that plant? So it brings you, I think, back to basics, pretty much, going out to the bush and stuff like that, and then applying it to your actual designs and landscapes.
So in your design work, are you a freehand drawer or a computer drawer?
Yeah. I am terrible. My handwriting is terrible. So don't do that. So, yeah.
Do you do any on-site sketches when you're there?
Yeah, definitely. So I pull out the old A3 graph paper.
Yep.
Do all the lines, all the measurements, all that sort of stuff to really get. And that's, I guess, if anybody is going into design, you can't get enough information. Mm. When you're there, take as many photos as you can, because you'll be sitting there.
You're never sitting at your desk later and go, oh, I just got too much information now.
Right? Yeah exactly.
You do quite often and go,
yeah, exactly.
I didn't measure that properly.
Even if you're looking at a measurement that you've done, you're like, oh, that's not quite right. But behind that, you have a course of bricks, and you measured that course of bricks, and you go, oh, that's 400. Okay, so that's da-da-da. Even if you don't have that measurement, we should have.
Yep.
You can go, oh, I can get away with that. Yeah, I've got the right measurement.
It extrapolates things from other measurements you've made. So Liawa is always keen to get more newer landscapers on board and involved in the association. Because, you know, a lot of professionals around to mentor the people finding their way in the industry. How did you find out about Liawa?
Actually through TAFE. Yeah, and again, Neil Marriott, the old boy.
Mighty Neil.
Yeah, Mighty Neil. Yeah, he mentioned Matlon, and he said apparently they're really good mates. And, I managed to set up a meeting with him and had a good old chat to him. Well, he chatted to me, I think, for a little bit, and then I managed to speak a little.
Yeah, that's normally how it goes with Matty.
No offence, Matt, love you. But, so basically through TAFE, and not only Liwa and a lot of other, you know, sources of information as well. So, if I hadn't gone to TAFE, I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, it's an excellent resource, our TAFEs. And
I really agree.
They're really undervalued, and especially in our industry, which I'm obviously more familiar with other industries, but we do have some fantastic lecturers and just some great advocates of the industry through TAFE. So it's always good to hear people having a positive experience there.
Definitely.
So with the lands or the design works, are there other courses that you think you might be doing?
Are
TAFE running design courses now?
I'm not
up to what TAFE's doing these days.
So there's the Cert 4 in garden design, which I actually did start at the beginning of this year. Would you believe I just had too much work coming in? I was like, no, I've got to get my teeth stuck into this, you know, and I think I said before, just apply what I've learned. You know, I did a paving course. I was actually talking to Ben. We did the retaining course together. So it's about applying and learning that I was really desperate for. You know, reading up on garden designers and seeing what they'd done. You know, name dropping again, Jamie Drury. I read up on his story and he basically did the same thing. I was like, well, why can't I do the same thing? You know, he was at TAFE or equivalent at that time. And he was out running his own business at the same time too, while being educated. Good for the goose, good for the gander, you know, kind of thing. So I was like, no, I've got to give this a break. But in saying that, I still want to go back and do it. It might be, you know, maybe one day a week. But I strive for the education.
Do you think TAFE is adaptable for people who want to, run their own business? But still, I mean, you can do it at night, obviously, but at the end of a hard day's work, probably the last place you want to be is going sitting in a TAFE room for another 4 or 5 hours after the day's work. So do you think TAFE could look at running things that are...
I would love that. I was actually thinking about that today because, back in the day when my parents were, trying to educate themselves as well, they went to night school. We don't have that anymore, It's only so lucky that I was able to do the paving course and retaining course because TAFE had put that on. But I don't think it runs anymore because there wasn't enough interest.
Yeah.
The other thing with the TAFE courses, and quite similar to what you're saying about the traineeship apprenticeships, is that the guys or the girls will come in for one day a week. So they'll do one unit, and then next semester they'll come in for another unit and another unit. So they're still working, earning a wage, but they're getting paid as well to be educated.
To come to TAFE.
Which I think is really good.
Yeah.
And that's something I would probably look at doing, just come in, pick a unit that I'm really interested in and just get, the real gems out of that subject. And
so you have to pay yourself to go back.
Oh, well. Claim it on tax, though.
Yeah.
100%. Come on now.
So outside your work life, make sure you have we've got to have that work-life balance nowadays. Very important for all of us. What do you like to do to unwind?
Well,
broken hips.
I sit in my wheelchair in my pool.
And you have a blanket over your lap.
Yeah, right. Cup of tea. No. I don't mind a beer, I must say. You know, sitting around at a pub, just chilling on the weekend. But
sounds good to me.
Yeah, look, just chill out. Stop using the body. That's the other thing. You got to recover. Yeah. But I do find myself out in the garden going, oh, what's that there? Oh, that's grown a leaf. And, oh, what's that bug doing? You know, kind of thing. So I have to catch myself and go, chill out.
Beck. I know exactly what that's like. You wander out, do one little thing. Next thing you know, you've spent 3 hours weeding or pruning.
Right. And just looking. I do a lot of looking.
Fertilizer.
Well, I think the most important tool any gardener can have is your eyes.
Yes.
Because it is a very visual industry where you need to be able to see what's happening to your plant. So you can certainly tell by the leaf, if it's deficient, if it's got a bug or anything like that. But also, I think the beauty behind it all is actually just looking around either a natural landscape or a developed landscape and actually enjoying what you see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, observational skills.
Yeah.
For a landscaper, for a gardener, for a maintenance person, any working in the horticulture, your observational skills are imperative because plants don't go and no matter what your clients tell you, they don't go from perfectly healthy today to dead the next day. They go through the stages and they turn. And if you've got your observational skills are up to pass, you'll pick up on those sort of issues very, very early. And unfortunately, not a lot of people have them well enough developed, no. I think, sometimes.
Beck, plant supply. Yes. You know, we have a number of nurseries around, but can tell you from my experience of being in the industry for a long time that our nurseries are getting smaller and smaller. Maybe not some of the bigger ones in size, but certainly in the number of nurseries that are around. How do you find plant supply? You know, when you're designing a garden, you might have all your favourite plants and you list them all there, and then you run off to the nursery and you can't find any of them.
Yes, yes.
I think that's probably one of the bigger problems in Perth at the moment. Darren, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple of jobs I can't finish because I can't get the plants. Mm.
And I think that's one thing that designers really need to have a look at too, is that it's great to be able to have everything that you want, but at the end of the day, it's what you can get.
Correct, yeah. Even through the winter season, like, I was looking for things that, you know, should kind of be available, and I was a bit disappointed that they weren't. So, but we do have a few other nice little boutique sort of nurseries that we have to go to. Maybe there's double the price, but if your client's willing to pay for it, then you can fulfill and get that job done.
You need the plants, but we're in a fairly unique situation this year with the demand didn't ease off up over winter, so plant demands for plants didn't it, but you don't get any growth. My background prior to landscaping was wholesale plant production, and so over winter you do not get any growth on things, and you don't get growth until the end of October for most of the plants we grow, and you get that big burst of demand in spring, normally cleans you out just as the new stuff's coming on. This year, because our demand was so strong through winter, they got cleaned out in winter.
Oh, really?
So a lot of the wholesalers are just so low on stock. They've got stuff coming on, but it's still weeks away from being ready. And most of it's pre-ordered.
Yes.
So going out to big green sheds and the like. And it's going to be a tough, I reckon, probably till we get into November for plant supply this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is good news for us landscapers.
I hate having to go to the green shed.
Turn green at the green shed.
But sometimes you have to, and
yes,
that's
you do.
Where
you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah,
it's a very famous Australian saying: "It is what it is."
What it is.
Was it such as life? Have it tattooed.
Well, Bex, we'd like to thank you very much for coming in and being part of our podcast. Really enjoyed talking to you and getting to meet you for the first time. And we bring another episode of Green Thumbs Up to a close, Kieran, and we must thank Ben for his diligent work on the decks, and we look forward to recording again soon. Thank you, Kieran.
Thank you, Darren, and thank you, Beck.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by the Landscape Industries Association, WA, sponsored by Miniquip Hire.